So I don't know what's the problem with the people on this side, but you're pretty small in number here. But anyway, there is a bulletin put out, and there'll be a number of things on the screen. And this Thanksgiving, it's always a nice time for Thanksgiving, as people sometimes say, a little bit of humor, and then we're on the go. For many people, in some ways, including myself, Thanksgiving is the best holiday of the year because you get to eat turkey, pumpkin pie, there's football on the TV, and you don't have to buy anybody anything. And in our church, we come and worship God. So let's get serious now. Let's put do you have that litany up there, or is it only on the bulletin? From the Old Testament community of faith, Psalm 136:1 reads, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever."
From the New Testament community of faith, Philippians 4 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice.
Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near."
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Would you stand for God's greetings? Once again, congregation, our help and our hope for this age and for the age to come are in God alone, who created the heavens and the earth. Receive his greetings. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord, and through the work of God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And let's sing together, "Let All Things Now Living." The words will be up on the screen. If you'd like to follow the music, it's on page 453 of the Silver Book.
Things now living, a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator, triumphantly raised, who fashioned and made us, protected and saved us, who guides us and leads to the end of our days. His banners are o'er us, his light goes before us, a pillar of fire shining forth in the night. Till shadows have vanished and darkness is vanished, thus forward we travel from light into light. He enforces the stars in their courses and sun in its orbit obediently shine. The hills and the mountains, the rivers and fountains, the deeps of the ocean proclaim him divine. We too should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration. A song let us raise till all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest. Hosanna.
Please be seated. I want to do a little thing here this morning with, and very brief, with four little points here with God guiding our history, because we are deeply thankful for how God has guided, particularly the history now of our land. And so let me just a quick comment and a story relating to a couple of these or whatever. In 1621, the Pilgrims. It was after a brutal winter of 1621 that William Bradford, the father of, told the folks in Plymouth Colony, after the summer, where there was a good harvest that summer, but the winter and then summer, spring, summer, and then the fall, they had a very good harvest. And William Bradford for that community said, "Let us have a time of giving thanks to God for the harvest, because that next winter they would have supplies." But he wanted to give thanks to God for those who survived that brutal winter of 1621. And I found a little thing about from the Pilgrims, and I find this interesting, and I would just encourage you, just a very short little thing here. The Pilgrims had a custom of putting 5 kernels of corn on each empty plate before a dinner was served. In many old Plymouth families, the custom is still followed today. It was done on Thanksgiving Day or on December 21st, the anniversary date of the Pilgrims' landing, the Plymouth landing. The 5 kernels were chosen because prior to the first harvest, things were so bad that the daily ration was 5 kernels of corn per person per day. Before you eat your Thanksgiving meal, think of the Pilgrims and their custom, reflect on your blessings, and then ask God to use you for his mighty kingdom in the world today. There are the Pilgrims. 1863, President Abraham Lincoln. Following the awful, awful, awful Battle of Gettysburg, where men from the South and North slaughtered each other in battle in the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, 3 months later, called the people to a time of thanksgiving to God. But it took until 1941, when the United States was again ready to go into, and you know, 1941, that was before Pearl Harbor, of course, Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. But during the 1941, when the United States was on the verge of entering another world war, the Second World War, the Congress of the United States declared that the fourth Thursday of November to be a national holiday, Thanksgiving. And I thought, as we bring it right on up to today, you notice those three, the three, 1, 2, and 3, all were in conflict. Conflict of weather, where many died, Pilgrims. Conflict of the Civil War. Conflict of World War II. Out of these deep conflicts, nation gave thanks to God for leading them through and continue to lead. We're not in a war right now, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say that our country is divided, because following our election, deep concern people have, and they're at war with each other in many ways. That's why even in the paper this morning, I read the paper this morning, have a family meal, there was an article, I'm following up the article, have a family meal, leave the politics out. Good advice. But I thought it would be good for us to give thanks to God. And one of the ways we give thanks is a prayer for the United States, for our country. Let's sing. Now thank we. No, no, I want to do this first. Silver Book 597. Sorry, 597. And it's not up on the screen. 597. And we do this once in a while. We've sung this song before, and it sings. We learned it in this church, but we're not going to sing it now. I'm going to just simply ask if you, and I'd like to have you turn to it, because like I say, the words will not be on the screen. And you notice when you look at this song, 597 in the Silver Book, you notice it's a prayer. Really, in the Christian church, all singing is prayer. We sing to God. We give thanks to God. So singing is prayer. And it begins, "The city is alive, O God, with sound of hustling feet," and on it goes. I would like 4 of you just to read, 4 volunteers, and to take a verse each, and the rest of it just follow along. This is our prayer on this Thanksgiving Day for our country and for our city. 4 people to, John will take verse 1. John Foltz, that is. A few Johns in here. Verse 2. Larry's got verse 2. Verse 3, Janice, and verse 4. Verse 4, Julie. Here we go.
"The city is alive, O God, with sound of hustling feet, with rapid change, and flashing lights that pulse through every street. But oft there is in inhumanity behind the bright facade, and throngs with empty, hungering hearts cry out for help, O God.
Is it your will, O loving God, that races live in strife, that loneliness and greed and hate should mark a city's life? Do you desire one person's wealth to keep the other poor? Must crime and slum and lust abound, O Lord? Is there no cure?
In Galilee, the people heard your servant Christ declare, through healing touch, through word and cross, the good news of your care. He said your heart touched every heart that longed for peace and right, that those bowed down by burdens borne could find your life, your light.
O God, inspire your church today to take Christ's servant's role, to love the world, to hear its claim, to sense its yearning soul, to live within the marketplace, to serve both weak and strong, to lose itself, to share its dream, to give the world its song.
Amen. 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 This is what we want our church to be. And we want the church to be in our land, the true church. Now let's stand and sing. Now thank we our God. Just two verses of this song. We'll sing the last verse at the end of the service. Meditation here this morning. A couple points here, and deep thanksgiving for our creed. That's what I decided to do this. We listed a lot of other things, the city and who from our mother's arms and the world and so forth, and we'll have a prayer at the end again and pull some of those in. But by and large, now I just want to zero in on this Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving for our creed. And our creed simply means that this is what we believe. A deep thanksgiving to keep us rooted so that we can live our lives, however many years the Lord gives us, with thanksgiving and full of faith for our creed. And the meditation is just that line. In case you're a visitor with us this morning, every month we learn memory verses here, and the first Sunday of the next month, people stand up and recite them from memory. Children do it, adults do it, sometimes families do it, and for the month of November, we have Philippians 4:4 through 7, and all I want to do is take that first line, rejoice from our memory, rejoice in the Lord. A couple lines later, it says, with thanksgiving, prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. But let's just zero in for a few minutes, rejoice in the Lord. That's our creed. In the Lord. So what I'm going to do is just very simple three points I want to highlight the work of the Father for our thanksgiving. And there you see it. The work of our, and our creed fuels how we see other people. And sometimes just a simple, I'll give you the biblical stuff in very brief form, and then just tell you a story. And you see how our creed fuels our thanksgiving. Because what is it about the work of God the Father? Well, fundamentally, God the Father and our creation, says the Heidelberg Catechism, unfolding the Apostles' Creed. God the Father and our creation. So the way we, because of God the Father, the way we see other people makes a huge difference. Huge difference. In fact, here's my illustration, and I don't want to get robbed up here afterwards, but I imagine I have a $100 bill here. Some of you have never seen one, right? Imagine this. I think this is from an advertisement I've seen. I've seen the advertisement on it because I'm not sure I got the right company that was advertising it. So if I'm wrong about this, I think it was DirecTV advertising. And here, their advertisement went something like this. Imagine everybody you meet in your neighborhood, at your workplace, you buy groceries, on the streets, in the park, whatever you do, ride a bike, wherever you go, imagine everybody with a Ben Franklin on their head. And they showed a picture. Some of you seen the ad? A picture of everybody with a $100 bill. Ben Franklin, he's on the $100. $100 bill on their head. Because DirecTV was saying, if you get other people to sign up for DirecTV, $100 bill in your pocket, big guy, lady, come on, $100 bill for you. And if you do 20 people, $2,000, my math is right. $2,000, $100 bill. So you look at everybody in the light of a $100 bill, what they can get for you. I ask you, I've told that story for this simple question. Would it make a difference how you saw other people if you saw them as potential $100 donors to your pocket? Of course it would. Of course it would. Would it make a difference if you see other people strictly as competitors? Of course it would. As a matter of fact, I told you to stay out of the politics at dinner. Let me throw one out, though. This is not dinner yet. If the policies of President-elect Donald Trump are put into place in the next 4 years, ideas of a strong free market economics, less government control, handouts, there's a good possibility that with human responsibility that the rich will get richer and the poor maybe get left behind. And I think that criticism has merit. And don't read into what I'm saying, because Trump is not the savior. The only thing that I'm saying for that is to make this point. If that is put into place where people are more responsible for their own behavior, for their own life, more responsible in terms of their own doing, and I hope that happens, that the United States is going to need strong faith communities. It's just absolutely going to have to. Otherwise, the materialism will just eat us up. Strong faith communities like this one and like other one, Christian communities. We need strong faith communities because when you have strong faith communities, you bring people into the presence of God the Father and our creation. And you treat people, no matter who they are, as made in the image of God. We need strong faith communities. Now, I'm not knocking some humanitarian efforts to help people get off drugs and help this and all that. Those are all good. But my point simply is, my brothers and sisters, the Christian gospel, the Christian church with the Holy Scriptures is light years ahead of any other religious communities, because we know the Father who sent the Son and poured out the Holy Spirit so that we might have his power and his presence in our church and in our lives. And that's what the country needs, the work. So give thanks for the work of God the Father in your life. Now, the work of Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. Came into our world, and we're about ready to celebrate that the first Sunday in Advent this coming Sunday. A human to pay the enormous price. And you know all that, most of you know all this, so just a line or two. To pay the enormous price, literally the eternal debt that I had and you had against the Father. He paid the debt so that in him we are set free. By faith in him, we are set free. 100% by faith, by grace and alone in Christ. We are set free to live in this world, United States, wherever you come from, wherever you go, to live in our Father's world. Jesus Christ, this creed changes my life. And we give thanks for the work of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what we're going to do. And I'm done with Jesus Christ right now in terms of my preaching. But we're going to sit back. I'm going to prep you for this a little bit. And then we're going to play a song. And you're just going to listen to it. The words will be up there because it goes really fast. But I love this song. And I bought this CD quite a number of years ago, Home for Thanksgiving, or Home to Thanksgiving. And there's a number of songs in here. And the song you're going to hear is called The Apple Tree. And what it does is takes John 15, where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Any person who remains in me, and I in him, her, will bear much fruit that will last. That's what we want, thanksgiving for fruit that will last. But we got to be grounded in Christ. So this person back in the 1800s, 1700s, wrote this song, The Apple Tree. And as I highlighted one of the things from the album itself, and then the words will be up on the screen, but he writes, one of the most popular forms of congregational singing in the 18th century, and those of you who are into music maybe know this, I didn't. Most popular forms of congregational singing in the 18th century New England was the fuguing tune, F-U-G-U-I-N-G, like fugue, fuguing tune. A hymn which turns into sort of a round with voices entering in imitation. The apple tree, and it really goes fast, so, and it just celebrates, and I'm not sure you'll be able to follow, but the words will be on the screen as best Kathy can do. You can see that there's the first one. The tree of life my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green. The trees of nature fruitless be, if you're not grounded in Christ, fruitless be, compared with Christ, the apple tree. Let's listen. The words are there, and away you go. Be ready to, it's almost as fast as, no, faster than my jogging. Here we go.
The tree of life my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green. The trees of nature fruitless be, compared with Christ the apple tree.
This beauty doth all things excel, by faith I know, but ne'er can tell.
This beauty doth all things excel, by faith I know, but ne'er can tell.
The glory which I now can see in Jesus Christ.
This fruit doth make my soul to thrive, it keeps my dying faith alive.
with Jesus Christ, the apple tree.
This fruit doth make my soul to thrive, it keeps my dying faith alive.
This fruit doth make my soul to thrive, it keeps my dying faith alive.
Which makes my soul in haste to be with Jesus Christ, the apple tree.
Grounded in Christ. Fruit. I don't have to say too much more. That's the key for your marriage, your children, your parenting. You're retiring soon, retired, whatever. In Jesus Christ. Grounded in Christ, and the fruit appears on the tree. We give thanks for our creed. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. And now, very, very briefly, I believe in God the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit sent from the Father and the Son, to take the work of the Son and change a people who are in darkness. It's called conversion. Change them when they hear the gospel. They repent of their sins, claim Jesus Christ as their Lord, and ask for God's power to be righteous men and women, righteous communities in the midst of the world. That is the work of God the Holy Spirit. And one of the great things about God, the work of the Holy Spirit, and may we be such a community, is not just in community here, but Jesus promised that when the Spirit comes, before you ever go out and bring the gospel to the city, to the schools, to the courts, to the world, before you ever go, the Holy Spirit is going to go before you to prepare the soil. And the soil is prepared. The Holy Spirit prepares the soil. The church plants the seeds. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, our thanksgiving is deep and vital. Let me lead you in prayer. Father, thank you for our creed, profoundly simple, that we believe in you, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who co-equal, eternally one, you created this world to bring you glory, Father. You sent Adam and Eve out into the world with a what a calling to go out and discover science and discover the whole different kinds of fishes and the different kinds of trees and to have a wild, wonderful time as husband and wife, and then to add to themselves sons and daughters. What a creation, what a calling in this whole thing we call the cultural mandate to go into all the world and bring glory to you and joy to human beings. And then we know what happened, because you've told us what happened, why this world is so filled with war, strife, anger, bitterness, disease, sickness, and death. Thank you for telling us. And then, Father, right out the heels of telling us why this world, because of our first parents' disobedience, you promised to send a son, your son, a Savior, born of a woman, to be the Savior for the human race. Thank you, Father, for sending your son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for leaving your father. You did not count equality with your father something to be grasped, but you made yourself empty, taking the form of a servant, a human being. You became man and you humbled yourself all the way to death on the cross, as we read in your word, Philippians 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give our thanks on this Thanksgiving day for you, Father, Son. And then, Holy Spirit, we owe you tremendous thanksgiving for when we heard the gospel from our parents, from our grandparents, from uncles and aunts, from on the radio, the television, picked up printed page, whatever, wherever it was, when the process of our lives, the earlier the better is what we pray for, Lord, the earlier the better, that our hearts would open up that this is the gospel that saves. This is the gospel that will give my life vitality and meaning, not escape, but right into the midst of the world, I can live righteously in the context of God's people, the church. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Continue to work powerfully in this church and in every congregation of the worshipers here this morning, whatever that congregation be, a Christian church. Work powerfully in that congregation, and most of them probably are from this great city of St. Louis. So God, work through the church in St. Louis, in Missouri, in the United States at this time.
May the strong faith community keep pointing people to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This we pray in deep thanksgiving. Amen. Let's sing this little song, Rejoice in the Lord Always. Again, I say rejoice. Let's stand for this.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice.
May be seated. If you'd like to give an offering, if you'd like to, the deacons will pass the plate. It goes for the Sunshine Mission, which is a mission here in the city. We've used it to help the homeless and others. So go ahead, dear Julie.
I want to put in this plug for this coming Saturday at 9 a.m. under the direction of the worship team. But it's not the worship team's assignment. They're just coordinated. We're going to decorate the church, right? But boy, could we use some help. You know, it doesn't take long if we get a number of people. And I'm not in any shape to do lots of lifting. I'm doing well. But some of you, I just came off some heart stuff. So if you can make it, 9 o'clock, we could really use you to decorate the church and get ready for Advent, all right? 9 o'clock Saturday morning. And that's it. Would you stand for God's blessing? And then we'll sing the last verse of Now Thank We All Our God. And have a great Thanksgiving. Give thanks to God when you break that meal this morning, if you're sitting at a big meal. Give thanks to God for all the abundant things that He's given to you, especially Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go in the name of Jesus, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.